Reading from the book of Job. The Lord addressed Job out of the storm and said, "Who shut within the doors the sea when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling bands, when I set limits for it and fastened the bar of its door and said, 'Thus far shall you come, but no further. And there shall your proud waves be stilled.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. His love is everlasting. His love is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. His love is everlasting. His love is everlasting. Some went down to the sea in ships to trade on the mighty waters. These have seen the deeds of the Lord, the wonders he does in the deep. Give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. His love is everlasting. His love is everlasting. For he spoke and raised up the storm wind, tossing high the waves of the sea that surged to heaven and dropped to the depths. Their souls melted away in their distress. Give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. His love is everlasting. His love is everlasting. Then they cried to the Lord in their need, and he rescued them from their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. His love is everlasting. His love is everlasting. They rejoiced because of the calm, and he led them to the haven they desired. Let them thank the Lord for his mercy, his wonders for the children of men. Give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. His love is everlasting. His love is everlasting.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the love of Christ impels us. Once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore, all have died. He indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Consequently, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even if we once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. A great prophet has risen in our midst. God has visited his people. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already filling up. Jesus was asleep in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, whom even the wind and sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
"Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" The storm at sea serves as a wonderful metaphor for the storms in our own lives. Like the disciple, when we're in the midst of the storm, it's easy to panic. It's easy to forget that, you know, we've made it through all the previous storms. And most importantly, it's easy to forget that we are never alone in our tough times, that our God is always with us to see us through, no matter what may happen. Most of us have made it through a storm that's lasted over a year now. The coronavirus pandemic was unlike anything most of us have ever encountered before. And it was hard. It's been hard for our kids and harder perhaps for our teachers. It's been hard for our parents. People have lost jobs. And for some, we've lost relatives or close friends. How did we do? How well did we manage this storm? Times of crisis brings out the best or the worst in us. As for the worst, do you remember the guy who bought up all of the disinfectant wipes that he could get his hands on and then turned around and resold them at exorbitant high prices? Or others that hoarded as much as they could get, knowing or not caring that other people didn't get any? Or, of course, all the fights over wearing or not wearing masks. Shameful and embarrassing that our kids had to witness that. But times of crises also bring about the very best in people. For a while, people were honoring our healthcare workers, those putting themselves in harm's way to care for those who were sick. And we'd wave to delivery truck drivers in gratitude for them for keeping food and other supplies on the store shelves. People were giving away homemade masks to make sure that everyone had one. I imagine you have other stories of your own of great acts of kindness and generosity during this past year or so. I may have already told you, I forget which stories I tell in homilies, but I may have told you earlier this year about the priests at John Carroll. One of them was believed to have contracted the virus, and so the whole community got shut down. So I got asked to shop for them. So I went over to the east side. I was brave, I know. I went over to the east side, went to Heinen's grocery store, loaded up this grocery cart full of stuff. I go to the checkout, and the checkout clerk says, "I'm sorry, you can only get one dozen eggs." One dozen eggs for 10 priests for a week. But that was the store policy, so I said, okay, that's fine. So I'm out in the parking lot loading up the car with the groceries, and the person who was in the line behind me comes up to me and says, "Sir, I got you another dozen eggs." Isn't that nice? So for yourselves, looking back over this past year or so, how did you do? How well did you handle the storm of this pandemic? In the midst of the storm at sea, Jesus asks his disciple, "Do you not yet have faith?" Jesus' question seems to assume that the disciples should have trusted that Jesus would see them through the storm. He shouldn't have panicked. After hearing Jesus preach of the closeness of God, after witnessing the miracles he performed, we also might think that that disciple should have just found himself going to sleep next to Jesus. So, if a disciple of Jesus failed the faith test, well, maybe we can forgive ourselves a little if we also haven't made it through this storm of the past year as nobly as perhaps we would have liked. But the invitation, the challenge, is there for us as it was for the disciples. Can we trust more in Jesus? Can we have a deeper, stronger faith that God will always see us through in the midst of our trials, come what may? And can we focus on the care of others even while we're going through our own struggles? Can we still care about others as best we can? Now, I'm sorry if I haven't made more of this a Father's Day homily, and I do hope that all of us will take time to honor our fathers, grandfathers, godfathers, father figures, those in our lives who have loved us and have helped shape us to be the people we are now. So as we now go to the table of the Lord, let's offer ourselves to God and to God's service, asking for the grace of deeper faith in the storms and also during, hopefully, the long periods of calm.